Welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate marriage, family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
Welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast. I'm Joe White, and I'm sitting here with my co-host and director of K-Country, Rachel Sparks, today. And everybody listening today is going to be heartwarmed because we all go through tragedy and we all experience some of God's triumphs in our lives. And so today, the mother of one of my favorite campers ever, Hamilton Jansen, truly one of the most novel young men I've ever met, will never make any parent feel like, you know, a rock star or a superhuman, but through difficulties in her own life, through tragedies like we all go through, parenting at least one, and someday I'll get to know the rest of her kids. They're growing up. They'll be at K2 one day. But parenting one of the finest young men I've ever met. Rachel, today we're talking to Ashley Jansen. I know as a fellow Baylor alumni, you'll know about her, maybe know her, but here's a cool story. Her great uncle worked at Texas A&M with my dad, Spike, and was a huge support to him during the early years at Kanakuk back in the 1950s. Wow. And then when I was first a counselor way back years ago, in cabin 8 with John Oliver as my co-counselor, I had a camper named Jimmy Hamilton, and he was the favorite of the cabin. He was, Ashley. And so your father, I mean, the amount of small worldness that goes on in this podcast, you can hardly measure. But Ashley, I am overjoyed because of the connectivity that everybody's going to have to your story today, and just to have you as a many-year alumni, camp mom, and Kanakuk friend for a long, long time. Glad to have you on the show today, Ashley.
Thank you. And actually, my dad remembers your mom and dad coming to his house to show the videos when he would travel around to show the videos. And he remembered, like, it's like the old tiny big round with the the film, you know, going around it. So, yep. So they hosted a ton of the little, I don't know what they called them back then, but
the Kanakuk Winter Trail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Ashley, how fun that your kids are at camp and you were a longtime camper. What a fun heritage that's been in your family. What was that like after being a camper to send your kids then to camp?
It was very wild. So my husband never did go to summer camp, but I kind of told him, hey, just so you know, I mean, we don't do prenups. But at the same time, I was like, we will be sending our kids to Kanakuk. So he's now fully in, all in. But yeah, it was crazy. The first time that Hamilton went to K West, I went up to Ward Wiebe and was like, hey, can I go see cabin 6? And that was where I came to know the Lord, on the wood floor of cabin 6, pixie 6 is what we called it. And it was funny because he showed it to me and I was like, nope, it wasn't on that side. And he's like, oh, that's right. We've added a couple of cabins since you were here. It would be here. And I was like, yes, that's where it was. So that was a very holy moment for me. Like, I went and kneeled down in the same exact spot and shed some tears and was just like, it was just a very full circle, amazing moment. So,
wow.
For sure.
On the floor of a cabin at K West?
Yes. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Ashley, talk a little bit more about that moment, can you? What was going on around you when you had that great moment with the Lord?
Originally?
Yeah. At that time in the cabin.
Yeah. So what's funny is I was one of those pretty strong rule followers, and I wrote my mom and dad a letter from Kay West asking permission if I could ask Jesus into my heart. And back then, you don't get quick emails and responses, so I never got their response. So, and then, of course, that was also back when it was like, you know, parents came overnight, they came for dinner, and then they left, and then they came back the next morning. And so the big rock that was, I mean, Treetops is no longer there, but there was this big rock that was close to where Treetops was. And my dad sat me down. He goes, did you get our letter? And I said, no. And he goes, so what have you done? I go, nothing. He's like, okay. So then my parents like talked to me. And then that night, which is like always the crazy night in the cabin, because if you don't have any of your stuff, because your parents have already taken all of your stuff. And so it's just you and your cabin mates and your counselors with the bare minimum. And I crawled over to my counselor at night. We were about to go to bed. And I crawled over to her and I said, everything that we've been talking about these last 2 weeks. And this was probably also my third or fourth year at camp. And I did grow up in a Bible believing, church going family, but it just something clicked. And so I asked her, I was like, will you please pray with me? And she did, and then she gave me a big hug, and then the next morning I ran up to my mom and dad before the baseball talk, or the K, what, you know, you get the baseball.
Yeah.
What am I talking about?
KAA. Yeah.
Yes, because the KAA talk, and sat down next to my dad and was like, I prayed the prayer last night. And he's like, that's amazing. And then we left. So I will be honest, I never got to ring the bell.
Well,
but it's okay.
Come back. You can ring the bell this summer.
So, because it was like, you know, anyways, but yes, that was my moment.
Yeah. So. Wow. So, I mean, explain that now from the heart of a mom, because I think it's safe to say, if you would agree, that in many ways that moment changed your life and living your life for the Lord. So now tell us about what it's like when you've watched your kids come to camp and what they've learned and how you've seen camp impact their lives.
Yeah. So I always do, I call it my birthday interview. So I interview my three boys on their birthdays and I ask them all sorts of questions, like their favorite color, who's their best friend right now, what's their favorite song. But one of the questions I always ask them is, where have you seen and learned about the Lord this year? And I'm always curious because I always want them to say camp and I always want them to say church. And I always want them to say at home, please, Lord, let it be at home too. But it's always, I mean, and I have the record since they were 3, 4, 5, 6. Kanakuk is always one of the answers to their question. And so for me, I always pray for those people that are going to be the outside influences in my children. Joe, you've been one of those for Hamilton, whether that's teachers, coaches, whatever. And so I always pray for the counselors that the boys are going to get. And just, it's just another, because it was for me. Like I said, I grew up in a Christian home. I have Bible believing parents, you know, that was all a part of my bringing up years, but to have the influence of just, oh, so this isn't just my family. And Christianity is something that is amazing and fun and exciting. And you see it in a totally different, it's just a totally different experience to see it so real and to see college kids that are totally on fire. Like that was really huge for me as a camper. Like it's not just my parents, it's, oh, these college kids are like super and they're cool. Like they're college athletes. So, you know, like this is something that I can grasp onto, but it's amazing to see just my kids and they come home and they're excited and they love the gift they get every year, whether it's, you know, like Hamilton got the watch and then like all the different things every year, they're like so excited to keep it in their room and they talk about it. And then the Christmas card they get with their pictures and with their cabin mates, and then they're all excited. So there's just all those points throughout the year. It's not just the 2 weeks that my kids are on campus. Like there's points all throughout the year that it just is a part of the fiber of our family, of our tribe. So
I've just enjoyed so much being, a coach or mentor in the life of Hamilton. Hamilton is, and I'm sure he's not perfect, but he's just such a fine young man. He's been raised so well. You know, all of us as parents, when we see a great kid like Hamilton, we want to know, what's the secret sauce? How does that happen? How do you turn out a young man like that in your home?
Well, this kind of goes to a little bit more of the story that we're going to share a little bit later, but we are very big on etched memories. We're very big on open and honest communication between each other and the family habits, the things you do in the mundane. And so having family dinners on a regular basis, doing family vacations that don't have to be crazy. Like, it can just be a weekend. You know, we did a treehouse one time and that was really fun. But I think there's that, but then we always say, we introduce safety talks. And so we told the kids that if there was ever anything that they were scared to talk to us about, or they felt like there was something that they did that their conscience was, that the spirit was just kind of pricking their heart, they could ask for a safety talk with us. And a safety talk is, we won't scream and yell, and you tell us what happens and you won't get in any more trouble. Like, there's going to be natural consequences to some of the things that you tell us. But we would rather we would rather know, and there won't be like a, you are for sure in trouble because of this, if that makes any sense. So safety talks have saved us a lot of heartache, both on both ends, because of just, hey, mom and dad, I did this and I feel really bad about it, but I need to have a safety talk. And we're like, okay, great. And we say it, and it's a open communication where the kids are not scared that we're going to like get upset or get them in trouble. I would say that open, safe communication has been really big. But just that mundane stuff of, hey, we're going to open up the Bible at the dinner table, or we're going to be a family that goes to church on Sundays, and that's going to be part of our rhythm. I wouldn't say there's a secret sauce. I would say there's more of a rhythm that we've set in our family, if that makes sense.
Rachel, all of us as parents are always looking for better communication with our kids. Mm-hmm. There's not a parent out there or a grandparent out there that's not asking the question, I want to communicate better with my child. I want them to be able to talk more. I want to be able to listen better. And I will just have to say that what Ashley's talking about is the coolest thing, safety talks. And I've learned over the years, not just in parenting, but in coaching and in mentoring, that, you know, when you're with your child or you're with your spouse, and I call them the killer C's, you don't criticize, condemn, complain, or coach, which means fix, or advice. When you have those rules in your own life, and I'm going to have my own boundaries, when my child comes to me or my spouse comes to me, and I'm not going to criticize, I'm not going to condemn, I'm not going to complain, and I'm not going to fix, I'm just going to listen and allow my child or my spouse to talk. The safety. And she calls it, well, safety talks. But my friend Gary Smalley used to talk a lot about this in marriage repair. But the safety that it produces in that relationship, so that that child can talk to you. And they're not going to get pounced upon with advice. They're not going to get criticized, condemned, or they're not going to get complained to. Oh, my goodness. I did this with my boys night after night after night after night after night after night after night growing up. From the time they were little till they left school for college. And I was just telling Cooper last night, the friendship that has afforded me with my boys over the years to create that safety in our communication. Parents, if you're looking for that, open your ears, bite your lips and ask great questions and use those killer C's and those safety talks that you're talking about, Ashley, those safety times, they will make richness in your relationships.
Well, I really love you. You said that quickly, but it was so good. You said the stuff you do in the mundane, and that it's not about the big moments, or it's not even about the huge, wonderful, great mountaintop moments, but you are laying a picture of faithfulness, of just with your kids, the day in, the day out, the carpool, the trips, the morning breakfast, the mundane stuff, that the stuff you do in the mundane is what really matters, which is good. It's such a good reminder. Ashley, you also, besides being a wife and an amazing mom to three precious boys, you also are a breast cancer survivor. And that could not have been easy when you were raising littles and doing all the normal stuff that life brings too, but to fight cancer on top of that. Tell us about what that was like and what you learned through that process.
So yeah, I'm actually coming up on 10 years, February 10th. So there's this whole thing going around right now where everybody's like posting 2016 memes on social media. And I'm like, wah, wah, I really don't, I don't want to do that. But it is funny because it has produced Mark and I to have a conversation where we both said, if we were given a chance to do it again, or if we were told we had to do it again, we would say 110% absolutely yes, we would. Because where it got us in our faith, where it got us in our marriage, where it took our boys to learn how to walk out in faith at such a young age. So I was 36. Garrett was 16 months old. And Luke was 3, almost 4, and Hamilton was 7. So, and what's funny, we had gone to family camp the summer before. And so Garrett, I mean, was trying to think, I mean, he wasn't even 1 yet. And so then, we were with the crazy family that brought the only baby that term at family camp. So it was quite interesting, but anyway, there was no family history. I actually had gone to the doctor just for my follow-up from having my baby, like you do after a year from having your child. They thought it was a clogged milk duct from nursing, and it was not. So I was actually at community Bible study, a Bible study that I went to when I got the phone call. And so it did, it led to chemo and double mastectomy and 10 surgeries in 5 years. And my mom would fly in from Texas and take Garrett back with her for 3 weeks at a time while I underwent treatment because I couldn't lift him. He was still a baby. I couldn't lean over the crib, like all of those things. It was that summer, I think, Rachel, that we ran in, and you obviously noticed that I had like no hair and a scarf over my head. And you were like, is everything okay? Like, what? So we were able to just kind of fill in and say, and we did. I will say one of the things I do love about camp is that I'm able to, there's those questions that we ask before we send the boys. Mm-hmm. And it was brought such comfort to my mama heart to know that when I sent Hamilton and Luke later, I could say, hey, this year has been really hard for Hamilton. He's had, this going on and this going on, and that knowing that the counselors were going to get that information really helped. That's a total sidebar, but just a plug for that situation. But I think if I look back, so obviously, yes, it was extremely scary when they found out that it was definitely in further stage than I thought it was going to be. You kind of obviously start thinking through what's going to happen to my young family and my husband and all of these things. And so I really had to get to the point of what is the worst case scenario? And the worst case scenario obviously was for me to leave my family, but ultimately coming from a believer's point of view, that's the best case scenario. I'm getting to spend eternity with my Savior. So, but I had to get to that point of, okay, if this did happen. And so I started journaling, and my journal was actually to the woman who would come in and raise my boys. And so I journaled and wrote a lot to her and prayed for her a whole bunch of just of how she would be a wife to my husband, how she would raise my boys and all of these things. And when I got the all clear of, you know, you have clean margins, we think the chemo has worked and all of this stuff. I obviously am a full component or full supporter of counseling. My counselor was saying, hey, have you stepped over to realize that you don't have to be scared anymore? And I went back to those journals and realized, in God's graciousness, that the woman that I had been praying for the whole time was me. Mm-hmm. And so to know that God chose to heal me, and that I can look back at those prayers of me praying for the woman who was going to raise my boys and drop them off to college. And that's what I just did with Hamilton in August, to be like, man, God, thank you so much for your kindness that I have all those words, but they were actually for me. So that was pretty amazing. But I think going back to like the mundane stuff, like our whole life, our whole marriage, you know, we were a part of a church. We were going to small group every week. We were a part of community. I'm praying both with Mark, with the boys, by myself. I'm going to a women's Bible study. I'm reading my Bible individually. Simple habits like I mentioned before, having family dinner, having devotionals as a family, whatever. And it's not like I am not a holier than thou person. This is not a, we have a Devo every single night and you must recite scripture and all this stuff. It's when we feel like that we A, have the time, and B, feel like that God's calling us to do so. But all of that is what I guess carried us through, because when I look back at that time, I was too sick to read my Bible. Mm-hmm. Like I was too tired to open my eyes and do a lot of those things. But it was the consistency of all of those things, the community of the people who surrounded our family, that picked up my boys and took them to school and brought us meals. And I mean, the crazy things of just me walking into Chick-fil-A with the boys, but I had my scarf on, and somebody sees us that I met one time at church. Like, oh, I've got your meal for you. And I'm like, oh, well, gosh, thank you so much. You don't have to do that. But then the boys are seeing this act out, like play out. And they're being like, Mom, why did those people just pay for our dinner? I said, well, sweetie, we were small group leaders and they used to be in our small group. And so we're having conversations with the boys of, this is how God is getting us through. This is what God's faithfulness is about. All of these things that you saw us do for the last, you know, however long, that is how God is carrying us, and then also strengthening our faith in the same time. We had a mentor in our lives, and we've never forgotten him. He said, or never forgotten what he said, you will live out scripture you previously only intellectually understood. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, like, this scripture that I've memorized, the scripture that I've read, these stories that I'm familiar with because of just being in scripture, you will live out scripture you previously only intellectually understood when you are literally walking through the fire as a family. So,
Ashley, I can't just hurry past a couple of things that you said. One of them was 10 surgeries in 5 years, and it came out of your mouth so quickly that you could almost like not even have heard it. But we know a little bit about what those surgeries are like. 10 surgeries in 5 years, 10 very difficult surgeries in 5 years. And then you said, my husband and I were talking, and if we had to do it all over again, we said that we would. And I was just astounded when you said that. I can relate to that personally, but to hear someone else say that reminds me of that sweet little Bethany Hamilton saying, you know, the girl that lost her arm, you know, taught my sweet little adopted granddaughter how to surf one day. She said if she could choose to have that happen again, she would choose it because of all the blessings that she has received and she's been able to give others in tragedy and sorrow. I want to know, how did your intimacy with your Savior change through those horrible, quote, 10 surgeries in 5 years, through all that chemo, all those nights hanging your head over the toilet, night after night after night after night? What was it like to walk with your Savior during those days?
So one of the ways that I feel like just my intimacy personally with my Savior is because I will say the intimacy even with my husband, just us connecting on a different level than we ever thought we would on so quickly, I think, in our marriage. But that was also a thing. But with my Savior, I'll be honest, after the 10th surgery, I also broke my ankle in the middle of that. So then I was on crutches in the middle of trying to, I mean, it was a mess. And I actually got pretty angry, I'm going to be honest. I kind of had a short season that I said, I kind of think I'm going to throw all this away. Like, I have done and believed and had faith and have been the good girl and done all the things. Never drank, never smoked, never did drugs, saved myself for marriage, like all of the things I was supposed to do. And now I don't feel like this is fair. And I feel like that this kind of sucks, if I'm honest. And I'm kind of tired of being now the good little Christian girl that's also going through cancer and is still the good little Christian girl with it. Breaking my foot in the middle of that is kind of what tipped me over the edge. I kind of had this cliff moment where I was, we not literally standing on the edge of a cliff, but it was, I sat and like I said, I was going through counseling and all of this. And I was sitting in, we called it my healing chair. It was my chair that I had to sleep in because you had to, with breast cancer, I had to sit like sitting up in a chair. And I had a moment where I turned and there was an empty chair next to me that always people would come and visit me. And so they would sit in that chair to talk to me, or the boys would sit there, or Mark would sit there and have dinner with me, or, you know, whatever. And my counselor asked me a story and said, or asked me a question and said, where do you think Jesus has been through all this? And I said, that's what I don't know. Like, I'm so frustrated right now. And she said, I want you to imagine that Jesus has been sitting in that empty chair this entire time, and that he has cared, and that he has seen, and that he understands, and that he knows. And she's like, I want you just to spend some time in that chair and kind of, and so my healing chair, we still have because I am nostalgic and can't get rid of it. But there was a lot of healing that came about for me when I realized Jesus has been there the whole time. Like, I think it just got so hard. It just got so hard with the age of my children and other things that were going on. I scratched my cornea, so then I couldn't see. I mean, the breaking of the ankle, there were so many external things that I was like, there is so much. I don't know what else. I'm like, I don't feel like Joe, but I'm getting there. And so I just remember sitting there and having this time, and I wept. I was just, it was like I finally was kind of just releasing it all emotionally and just feeling like now every time I looked at that chair next to me, it wasn't empty. Like, he was always sitting there. He was always caring for me. He was always going before me. He knew these things were going to happen. He was never surprised. I might have been surprised. Like, I might have been surprised by some of the things that were happening, but it brought me such comfort to know that my Savior was actually right next to me. He knew, he wasn't surprised, and he was a part of it all. And so once I changed my perspective, like once I kind of stopped feeling sorry for myself, if I'm honest, it just, the intimacy with him became such to a different level that it hasn't, I don't say it was, it hasn't changed since then, because it has. I mean, obviously the journey, but it just, that was the big point for me. So.
Wow. That is the neatest fruit or treasure of suffering. And everybody in Christ that suffers, we all have that listening chair experience of seeing Christ, not just sitting in the chair, but sitting like so close to our side. It's like, it's almost, it makes suffering envious. And perhaps that why, just why we can all say, if we had to go through it all again, Rachel, we would, just for that beautiful intimacy with our Savior.
So good. What a beautiful picture. And for anybody walking through anything in life right now to realize he really is in that chair next to us. There's so many people I can imagine even listening to this that might not be battling breast cancer, but need healing from something. And they're sitting in their own healing chair. And how beautiful to think about that Jesus really, really does walk with us in those moments and is there with us. Ashley, I'm so grateful to get to hear just a piece of your story. I know there's so much more, but thank you for being real and honest and in some ways even just raw to talk about the good and the hard and the journey over the last 10 years. What a true, true blessing to get to see how you've lived out truly those moments in the mundane. And it really is those moments that end up defining us and carrying us through when we enter into those hard battles. At camp, it was said to me, and really the same message, but just a little bit of a different form of faithful in the little things. And scripture tells us that he who is faithful with little can be faithful with much. And how beautiful to see how you walked faithfully in all those small moments of life. And you walked faithfully through the trials and faithfully through just the times at the dinner table with your boys. And we pray that the Lord would bless all that faithfulness and walking with him. And three generations at camp. Oh my goodness, how fun. We're excited to get to keep seeing you guys and have your boys back at camp again. Can I just pray for you as we close out this show?
Yep, thank you so much.
Lord Jesus, thanks for Ashley's story. Thank you, as Joe started at the beginning of this and said, tragedy to triumph. And we know that you are a God that can do that. You can take the deepest hurts, the deepest tragedies, Lord, and you can do great things by your healing, by your blood. And we praise you that Ashley is healed and pray that you would continue to just have your hand on her life. And over the Jansen family, for her boys, that you would continually draw their hearts near to you and that they would seek your face and get to know you more and more. And we pray that you would continue, please, to intimately walk with their family, reveal yourselves to them, and bless them in mighty ways. Lord Jesus, we love you, that you are ultimately the great healer and that you know us and walk with us intimately, Lord. We pray all this in your mighty name. Amen.
Please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanacookPodcast.com. And for more information about Canacook, you can visit Canacook.com.